Hello and welcome to another Blue Toon Podcast, your podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. The Blue Toon Podcast is sponsored by Marcos Chipper. You can't beat the scran, doing it Marcos. This week we had the pleasure of chatting with one of Jim McAnally's January signings, Alan Cook. Despite only being with the club for a few weeks before the season was abruptly ended, Alan talks about what it was like joining the club at the time and his plans for next season. Here's Alan's full interview.
Right, today then we've got one of Jim McAnally's January signings, Alan Cooks, here with us. Alan, thanks very much for coming in.
No problem at all.
So how's things been with you then? How's lockdown been for you?
I think it's pretty similar for everyone. The longer it's going on, the more frustrating it is. I think the most important thing though is everyone comes through the other side of it, and unfortunately it just means that we just all play by the rules and we'll all get through the other side and we really go for that.
And you still manage to get your training as such, but you getting as much kind of exercise as you can, any kind of drills that you're doing?
No, well that's it. Augie sent us out sort of a wee programme right at the very beginning. Again, you stick to it as best you possibly can, and you're out every day, even sometimes a couple of times a day, but ultimately it can be quite challenging at times because you're just sort of outrunning yourself, and half the battle is getting out there some days just because it can get boring at times. Yeah. You know, guys run about you, egging you on, it's really missed from our point of view, but we'll get back to that side of training hopefully soon.
Sure. Is it hard to keep yourself fit because you can, there's no football on the horizon anytime soon?
I suppose it's hard to judge, I suppose, because you're out and you're doing your runs, but when you're out running yourself, you've got nobody really that you're competing with, and as much as you've got times, etc., and unless you're running in a big group, you can actually judge where you're coming in, and it pulls you on that wee bit. I think I'm still in relatively good shape, but proof will be in the pudding when we get back, and I'm probably told I'm a little bit overweight, but I'm sure everybody will be in the same boat.
Everybody's going to need a pre-season on top of their normal pre-season to get back because it's been 8 or 9 weeks.
Aye, I mean, I think as well though, it's a lot of the guys, you get back up to speed pretty quickly. I mean, and I know there's a lot of things quoted about maybe 6 weeks and so on, but I think the reality is everybody will be in a reasonable shape coming back. It's then just a case of getting up to match sharpness and having a pre-season, but I think maybe 6 weeks is a bit extreme. Just from my point of view, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. So what's your kind of thoughts on these ideas that have been bandied about, you know, the hub ideas, or maybe even League 1 and League 2 being postponed for a season?
Well, certainly the League 1 and 2 postponed, that's, I hope, is a non-starter. Just from a personal point of view, and I suppose every player's in the same boat there, everybody wants to play football. So, no, I really hope that doesn't happen. The fact that there's other countries out there that seem to be making significant progress, there's no reason why we cannot. So, certainly, I hope that doesn't happen. Equally, the hub idea, listen, I think any player will take any suggestion as long as it results in us playing football. That's the most important part here. Equally, of course, it's got to be a safe environment and so on, but until ultimately you come up with a vaccine, I think that's a long way away, but there's certainly loads of factors you can control, and hopefully the powers that be come up with a solution for everyone.
Yeah, and what about closed doors, playing behind closed doors, is that an option for you?
Anything, as I say, known, it's probably not viable for the majority of lower league clubs just because of the financial aspect, but if you take it purely from a player's point of view, if you're told to play, whether it's in front of 20 people or 2,000 people, I mean, you're going to do as your duties. Of course, you want to play in front of as many fans as possible. But if it meant that, unfortunately, it wasn't possible, but we had to play behind closed doors, and for talk's sake, there was a video link or something along those lines, who knows, then, of course, we would do whatever's needed.
And you're contracted to next year, yourself, so do you kind of see that as a bit of relief that you know that even if there's nothing kind of happening, you'll still get some kind of pay coming in, whereas a lot of the players are going to be out of contract at the end of the month, beginning of next month?
I hope so. I think it's a lot of that's out with my control. I mean, as much as, yeah, there's a contract there, I hope that it's possible. I appreciate the furlough has been extended now to the end of October, and hopefully there's support there for the club. I mean, it's one of many sort of topics of conversation, and personally, I suppose everyone would like to think that it will continue as normal, but who knows? I don't really think about it too much. It should give me comfort, but as I say, I'm sure the club, it's not a question for me, it's a question for the club if anything was ever to develop on that.
You mentioned that you're getting stuff from Hobby about your training and things like that. How much input are you getting from Jim or any other members of the board about what's happening?
I think we've got a great club captain in Scott Brown, and he sort of liaises really well and is a good go-between with the hierarchy of the club and the manager and relaying any messages. Personally, I've not had any direct contact with anyone, but to say at this stage, there's not really a need for that. I think all the messages come back fantastically well for Scott Brown, and I think a lot of the boys are on the same boat. Equally, you can't really talk about things that nobody really knows about, because there's so much uncertainty and it's unknown. So you're just speculating on a lot of the things that come up, and until you get hard facts, and that's when you can really take it and have a real discussion about it.
Is that the most annoying part or the most frustrating part that you just didn't get what's happening?
Oh, everybody's in the same boat, and that's regardless whatever line of work you're in. Football's no different. It's got a lot of enjoyment to it, of course, but at the end of the day, it's a job as well. So if you're at your day-to-day job and you don't know when you're going back to work, it's unsettling, but hopefully we come up with a solution pretty soon, and the SFA, SPFL can create something that allows us to get back playing ASAP, because I don't think there'll be any player out there that doesn't want to get back playing as soon as possible.
Yeah, so we'll move on to sort of more positive, a more positive subject then. So you signed for Peterhead in January. Jim obviously brought you in, but I read somewhere that he tried to bring you in 3 years ago.
I think at that point it was a potential option, and I think that summer I decided I was going to sign for Alloa. We were unfortunately picked in the League One playoff final, so the way sometimes things play out, it's funny, it goes full circle and you end up signing a few years later. So no, I was delighted when I got the opportunity to come up. And I think, the reality is I was only really in 6 weeks or so I was still getting to know everybody and start to build up some relationships there. But as I say, the 6 weeks I was in, it was a bit as enjoyable as it could be.
Did Jim need to try and sell Peterhead to you, Alan, or was it quite an easy decision in the end?
No, it was a really easy decision, to be honest with you. There was a couple of, there was three offers in January, all for the League One, and I just decided that Peterhead was the right one for me. I know a few of the boys that were in the team, and again, on paper, it's a really good team that I think should be maybe performing a little bit better. And who knows, we could have maybe got a run together towards the end of the season. But no, everything that's about the club's fantastic, and as I say, I've enjoyed it. So I think when you play against teams, you get a feel for how they operate, the type of players that they've got, and some clubs you just enjoy playing at. So I've always enjoyed my time playing up there as an opposition player, so it was a great chance to come and play.
Is a chance of working with Jim an added bonus as well, since he tried to get you a couple of years ago?
Aye, I think any player would tell you that if you get the opportunity to play for somebody that wants you, that's, you need a manager that really wants you to be a part of their plans. And as I say, so far the time I've been there, it's been fantastic, and I've not got a bad word to say. So just unfortunately this coronavirus kicked in, and things went on hold, but not really hoping that it'll be a successful period for a good while when this all comes to an end.
It's difficult enough, I would imagine, being a January signing, because you want to hit the ground running, you know, impress your new teammates, impress the new fans. Obviously you said you've only been there for 6 weeks. So how keen are you to get the new season started and hit the ground running so everybody can see what you can do?
No, definitely. Fingers crossed that it's sooner rather than later. Again, I think everyone, it will be very similar to another start of the season, so it'll be a little bit of bedding in again. But that was a frustrating thing there. If you take when I first signed, you get through the first 6 weeks, that's typically you're sort of bedding in, you're getting to know the players, you're getting a feel for everyone, and you were really, well, was really looking forward to the last quarter of the season and hopefully picking up a lot more points. So again, it'll just be a case of starting from scratch again and coming in. Hopefully we can really have won and have a successful season, whichever make-up or league format or whatever it may be that we're in.
Well, for those that maybe haven't seen you play before or know much about you, what kind of player are you and what kind of player can we expect of you?
So typically, as I say, play in a wide area, creating as many opportunities as possible. As I say, I'm not one for I do this and I do that. I mean, you guys will make your mind up on that. Half of you will probably say I'm brutal, but listen, as I say, you do what you possibly can, and I think the fact that the manager's brought you to the club, as I say, that you'd just like to think that he'll give you your chance to continue to play and I'll go out and express yourself and play as well as you possibly can.
I read a quote for Jim just before the lockdown and the season sort of ended. He kind of sees you as a striker, as a main forward kind of player. Is that something that you've been interested in before, or is he surprised that he's come out with something like that?
No, I mean, as I say, I've never really played fully through the centre myself at any stage in the last 10 years. However, if the manager sees that, then most definitely more than open to seeing. As I say, I've never had the chance to play through the centre either, so who knows, it could be a successful spell if I get the opportunity when we get back to play there. I've played anywhere across sort of the middle, the midfield, and equally off the striker, etc. So I am sure if when we get back, the manager of these plans. I was just getting a sort of like a wee run out the second half at Falkirk, playing up top. Dell was on for the first sort of 20 minutes, and then Boydie came on. The two is linked up well there as well. So no, I think when any manager asks you to play anywhere, you give it your all, and then you review things and see if it's working or not. Ultimately, it's another strength of your body, the fact that you're able to play across various positions. It lets the manager have more options. I think, as you say, if any player, you just want to be in the starting 11, so whatever position that's in, you give it your all, as I said.
Yeah, you've got a pretty decent goal-scoring record as well for a wide man, so, you know, if you're going to play through the middle, that should kind of convert into a few more goals, wouldn't it?
Aye, I hope so. I hope so. As I say, you've done all right with goals over the years, chipping in. I would personally like a lot more, of course I would, but as I say, that's something I suppose I do bring to the team as a goal threat, whether it be either chipping in with a couple or certainly try to create as much as possible. That's a sort of more positive area to my game.
Do you set goal targets for yourself at the start of the season?
Nah, not really, to be honest with you.
Any kind of targets?
Aye, be in the team first and foremost. you've got to start somewhere, there's no point. Getting in and every club, you want to establish yourself as best you possibly can within the manager's plans and make sure that you do everything you can that he can't drop you. The area pitch I typically play in is you find that the most wide players, that's typically the area that if you're going to chop and change, you normally find it's your wide players that get dropped first or come off. So really you just try and focus as best you can as getting as many minutes and then you go and take it for there and play as many games as you possibly can. Because ultimately, if you're playing, you should be doing something well. The fact that you've wanted your place to stay in the team.
I like the modern kind of winger nowadays, if they're a strong left foot, they tend to play on the right and vice versa. Are you kind of more a traditional kind of winger? Is your left foot playing the left, or do you prefer to play on the right and then cut in?
Nah, personally for me, I prefer playing on the left, just because the majority of the time I'll try and get the ball out of my feet and just put it in the box. So if I'm trying to put it in with my right foot, I think I'll probably find you guys in the stand more often.
That's the way it
is. I probably could use Mary a touch, but as I say, it's just trying. You play, as I say, listen, if you're playing it in the wide right, you just adapt and you do start to cut in more naturally. But for me, as I say, it's whatever side you play on is neither here nor there. But.
Yeah. One of the games that you did play in was the 4-4 game that got abandoned. Pretty horrendous conditions. Have you ever had anything like that before? As bad as that?
I did actually. I played for a Broth for a season, so I think you can probably.
Aye, quite windy in Gayfield, isn't it?
Aye, I've seen it all. I mean, There was a wee clip that was going about social media. Me and Bobby Lynn taking a short corner, and the wave comes over and hits us. I've played in a few windy games like that before, and Peterhead's up there as well. I've played in a few games over the years, but certainly a game of two halves, and you can almost shoot for anywhere at times. But I think the game itself, the fact that it started, it should have finished, because forgetting there at 1:30, the wind didn't change to such a degree that you then had to cancel the game. I think, listen, the referee's probably been only too happy to pick up his wages and get yourself back down the road. That's my opinion on it.
Is it more frustrating that the game started and didn't it finish rather than they starting at all?
Definitely, because you've done hard, but we were going against the wind. I think we held Forfar to maybe one, two chances maximum, and as well, we looked a bit as well as we could playing against the wind. We caught them a couple of counters and looked reasonably dangerous when we got going forward. But as I say, as soon as any game gets started, you want it finished. Because equally it meant that we had to travel away back up on a Tuesday night, and the fact you've done your preparation, you want to get the game finished rather than having to come away back up midweek, and it's totally different, especially a 3.5-4 hour journey up the road. It's not ideal midweek, so it would have been nice to finish it on the day, but hey, wasn't it to be.
No. One other game I want to mention as well is Montrose away. Got your goal in that game as well. Talk us through your goal there.
I think I gave the keeper £20 to throw it into, to be honest. I took the ball all right in my thigh and then turned and just did a first-time crack at it. And I think if I'm being honest, it's a decent strike, but keeper should probably save it. Again, to be honest, I should probably have scored with a header earlier in the game. But it was a strange game because as much as we went down the game, coming away from it, I felt a wee bit as if how did we not get anything from it. But you can't chase games because the Montrose back line's a strong outfit, and just unfortunately come up short. But we did have the chances and just unfortunately couldn't convert some of them.
Were you aware that the previous time at Peterhead going down there early in the season, the game had finished 4-3 as well?
Aye, a few of the boys have mentioned it in the lead up to the game. But again, like with most games at our level, you can get through times where you wonder how did that game finish 4-3, and there's other games where there's even more chances and it finishes nothing each. So I certainly didn't think I'd play another 4-3 going into the game, but when you get there and the game got started, it was just one of those days where every shot, stroke, everything just seemed to happen for players, and one way or another the ball was either going in the net or there was opportunities created. So I unfortunately came out the wrong side of it, but okay, well, I'm sure we'll hopefully overturn the type of results the next time we play them next season.
We've spoken to a couple of the players so far, and they've mentioned that it's games like that that they've found quite frustrating because they know that there's better performances. Did you kind of feel that in the short space of time that you were in the changing room with them, that these players were frustrated by the results, or not necessarily by the performances, but the performance weren't maybe generating the results that they probably should have gotten?
Yeah, I mean, I know, as you say, I can only really comment on the 6 weeks that I was there, and a couple of those games, listen, we probably didn't deserve anything out, like the Fall Cup one, for example, but we'd played a couple of the so-called bigger teams in that 6 weeks that I was there, and you were then getting into a run where you were coming up against teams more run about you. By all accounts, as I say, the lads had done fantastically well in quite a considerable number of games, but hadn't got anything out of it. But you don't want to become one of those teams that plays fantastic football and gets absolutely nothing to show for it. At the end of the day, points are all people care about, and nobody looks back on seasons and says, oh, it was fantastic football we played, but we got hee-haw for it. So when you look back in a couple of seasons' time, it's forgotten. It's only remembered about league positions and where you ended up. So I think there were games as well, though, that we did do pretty well and deserved more out, maybe like the Montrose one there. But as I say, when you then concede as many goals in that game and you're on a hiding to nothing, because very few games, again, we score three away from home and then you get into the game, that sort of speaks for itself. But no, as I say, I'm sure the makeup of the squad will maybe change over the next before next season, but it was a fantastic squad that we had. I was just getting to know everybody and seeing how good some of the players were in training and in games. So it was frustrating we didn't get more points, and I'm sure the boys felt even more frustrated, the ones that had been there longer.
Were you surprised by the league position of the team when you joined, considering the players that they had?
I mean, you're surprised because you look at teams on paper and you see there's a lot of good players there, etc. But in the day, league tables don't lie, do you? You get what you deserve, and over the course of a season, there's no flux to it. I think if we'd maybe converted a few more chances, we would have been up the league. But when I first joined, it was very, very tight. And you just have to look at Clyde, who put three wins in the trot together and pulled away. We have every confidence would have gone on and hopefully done something similar. But as I say, you've got to be optimistic about every game. But the points we had were the points that we had, and I would like to have thought we could have got a lot more. And I'm sure the boys will say the same, that it was a very good squad that was assembled, and it was up to us to deliver more points.
Paul and I have spoken in previous weeks and months on the podcast about, other than Falkirk and Raith, it's very much a division where anybody can beat anybody. Do you feel that when you come in to Peter Reid at the start in January, that it is definitely much a league where you can take points off anybody?
Oh, definitely. And again, even to a degree, when we played the so-called bigger teams there, that it was something, when you concede soft goals at times, it's not so much soft, but as soon as you give teams a lead early doors in games, you're fighting an uphill battle. So, you always think you've got a chance to beat everybody. But as I say, it's sometimes just being a bit cuter and getting over the line with a lot of the results. Maybe even, for example, the Forfar game, we're one up with 5 minutes to go and we end up drawing one each. So that could have been the catalyst to get us in a wee run of form, but it wasn't to be. So just little instances like that, and that's what those small moments end up making your season to a degree, because then you didn't pull away to Forfar, and then that meant the following week you're still fighting in that relegation battle, so to speak.
You mentioned that game there. You look at the chances that we had at the end. Boland's header, you probably caught it too well because it went straight to the keeper. Yeah. Boyd's hit the crossbar right at the end. It's the fine margins that we're finding this season aren't going our way.
Listen, sometimes you just don't get the rub of the green and your luck's not in. And I think, as I say, the most important factor since I joined was making sure we stayed in the league, and we done that. So again, we didn't get the opportunity to play the final games to see where we would have ended up in the end, but we had enough points at that stage to ensure survival. So it's always the same story with most seasons. It's small margins that then make or break your season. So the teams up the top, I'm sure they would look back and they would say, so for example, wee instances where it's a goal here, or we've conceded an unlucky deflection, or whatever it may be, that's when you look back and go, for the other teams, well, that's gave us, and they've kicked on and moved up the league. So hopefully next season we get a little bit, those little marginal decisions go our way, and we get the rub of the green and move on and have a far more successful season.
How much are you looking forward to competing against Falkirk again, and possibly even Partick Thistle, if the league construction stays the way it's supposed to be?
If we kick off the way the setup is now, then again, as a player, you want to play in front of, as I said at the start, as many fans as possible, and having bigger clubs, that brings bigger crowds, and it's a far greater game. It certainly makes the atmosphere, especially in the smaller grounds, I'm sure they'll bring bigger away crowds. So, no, it'll be great games and ones that you look forward to. And as I say, hopefully we get the results and take a lot from those games.
You're right. You're one of four that's definitely been signed up for next season. Are you kind of got your eye on anybody that it's there at the moment, you're hoping it's going to stay, or you just kind of going to leave that to the powers that be?
Oh, that's always the gaffer's job. That's the hard part, isn't it? So you always, you feel at a stage of the season, it's no nice for the guys, unfortunately, to move on, either by choice or that there's not anything there for them. Equally, it's always good to get some new guys about the place. But for me, as I say, I'm only in the door 6 weeks, so we're still getting to know everybody. Again, I would have loved to play with everybody a bit longer, so see, I'm still getting to know people, so 6 weeks in the door, I don't think I've really got too much of an opinion to say anything about any of the guys.
You mentioned Scott Brown there earlier on, being the captain, and he's obviously liaising with everybody. Another guy I want to mention as well, Simon Ferry. How's he been as a coach? Because he's obviously just taken over as a coach just recently as well.
I know, as I say, that was one of the things that's I've really enjoyed since joining the club was the training. I think Simon's took a more active role since sort of January time, but certainly the full time I've been there, the whole 6 weeks that it is. The training's been fantastic. The sessions are really football driven, so it's not all about just long runs. There's this guy's running and different things at times in it as well, but nah, it's really possession based, and it's you get a lot out of it because it's short, sharp, and for me, it's well probably some of the best training sessions I've been involved in over the last few years, and it just makes you enjoy going to football, especially when you finish work. That's half the battle, is keeping when you're on a part-time basis, you want to be going to training, whereas there's been clubs in the past you've been to, and it's like, it feels a bit like a slog, because you know you're getting into the greatest respect, terrible training sessions, so that's certainly not been the case at Peterhead. The Thursday night session that we have with the more central-based guys, that's fantastic, equally the Tuesday night up in Dundee. No, it's been one of the real bonuses this season. It's been really enjoyable.
Can you see kind of attributes within him that he can go on and coach at maybe a higher level, or even be a manager?
Aye, I'm sure he can. Confident guy, yeah. So again, that's something if he decides that's what he wants to go on and do, you'd need to really ask him. But no, I think certainly he's got all the attributes there, and it's up to the guy himself if that's what he fancied doing. But for me, as I say, playing alongside and being involved in the sessions, it's been really enjoyable, and I think that's been here a lot of interviews with a lot of people. It's half the battle. When you enjoy it, everything comes on with it, the performance and everything else.
But we've got yourself and you're 28, do you see yourself maybe trying at a higher level, or can maybe getting full time, or are you kind of think this is where you're at?
Again, I thought it's all right saying I'd love to play full time, but there's loads of factors involved there, and as it's well documented, that Scottish football is not exactly lush with money, is it? So there's loads of factors. I think every player would love to play at as high a level as possible, but there's loads of factors that come into that, and they'll all depend on wages, etc. But for me, I've got a reasonable career away from football, and the two of them complement each other quite nicely, so if it meant that I played part-time the rest of my days, then no, I'd really enjoy that. And as I say, you want to play at a higher level. I've certainly not got any direct targets. I want to be a full-time football player, because there's no point, because you never know what the future holds, and there's loads of factors you need to consider. But aye, that's play at Peterhead is a fantastic guy. Playing at any senior club, it's enjoyable.
You see yourself going out coaching or manager yourself after you finish with playing football? Or is that something you've never really looked at so far?
I've not really thought about that, to be honest with you guys. Hopefully I'm playing for plenty more years yet. It's not really something I've thought about, to be honest.
If you're anything like Derek Lyle, you've got at least another 12 years
to play. Listen, I'm one of these guys that'll play as long as I possibly can, at as high a level as I possibly can, so I'm sure somebody one day will say, listen, you're terrible, there's no contract there for you, and you're just taking the chin and you go and you move on and play at whatever level it may be.
And I know you've only been there 6 weeks, but how welcoming is the guys been at Peterhead, not just the players but the staff and things like that, because we get quite a reputation for being a family kind of orientated club. Do you find that as well?
Listen, as I say, a very short period of time I was at the club, everybody certainly made you feel welcome, but you're just starting to get to know people, and I think we only had maybe two or three home games, so getting up and around the ground and getting introduced to everyone, it was something that was still very much ongoing. So, it is a fantastic club, and I think everyone speaks very highly for a reason, because you're looked after for the moment you come up, all the way right through, and that's for smaller things like the catering after the games, all the way through to how you're kitted out, etc. So no, it's a very well run club, and there's not many clubs. I've been plenty of clubs in the past, but there's not many that sort of are on par with Peterhead. No, you can't fault it at all.
So what's kind of the difference then? Is it because it's still relatively new to the league as such? Is that maybe the difference, you think? Whereas some of the clubs you've played for have been in and around the league for a lot longer?
No, it's just a lot. It's just sort of infrastructure, facilities. Again, you don't speak poorly any club, but there's certain ones out there that amongst players you just know maybe the treatment of some kind isn't great, and it can even come down to things like facilities. So if you get the opportunity to train in the sort of facilities we are on a Tuesday night, or else you could train on maybe a bit of a lesser facility. It's little things like that. We spoke about small margins. All these little things all add up and make it a far more attractive club to be at. So there's not really any fault whatsoever that I've come across yet. Just hopefully it continues and that, and we can come out the other side of the coronavirus and nothing changes. That's, as a player, that's what you hope.
I'd maybe put you on the spot a little bit here, but can you see yourself long term playing at Peterhead?
Aye, I hope so. Again, that decision's way out of my hands. It's up to the manager, so it's, and that goes back to my point I was saying about the first thing I want to do every season is establish myself in the starting 11, and you build for there. So if I do that and continue to play and hopefully play as many minutes as possible, then it makes the manager's job hopefully easier that he wants to offer you another contract. So aye, as I say, you always start off, and I do hope I'm able to build a long stay at the club. But as I say, there'll be plenty of other factors in that, and the manager will be one of them, so let's hope he doesn't release us anything soon.
We'll get a press release of all. Cook's gone. What about the next season then? I know obviously things are a bit up in the air. Has anybody sort of talked about sort of expectations yet?
Nah, as I say, listen, that's the thing as well, it's just all speculation really, isn't it? Once we've actually got something to plan towards, then I'm sure there'll be correspondence and the club will start to make plans and establish a squad that can play, because I don't think playing in a five-a-side game against that's not really going to do too much, is it? But I just, as I say, my personal views are hopefully this can pass as quickly as possible. I appreciate there's far greater things going on in the world than worrying about football. However, through the personal interest that you've got in it, I really wanted to get back as soon as possible, and just hope that whatever support or what needs to be done can be done, because I think ultimately there'll be a lot of things that clubs need, and really ensuring that all clubs can come through the other side is important. They will need financial support, I'm sure, equally all the fans that are out there, hopefully they can all come and support the clubs and give us greater gates, because the more money that's generated, the better the product will be. So fingers crossed everybody pulls together. It's not just up to the likes of the SFA, etc. It's just clubs can generate, get their fans back through the gates, because I think if we look at attendances, they seem to be dropping over the years, and hopefully we can get more fans coming back and aye, go for that.
Have you any personal concerns about Thapba returning in the next couple of months?
Well, obviously as a player you want to get back, because we've got contracts, and some of the guys that will be out of contract, so more thinking of those guys, because if clubs aren't giving out contracts, there'll be a lot of people that will maybe be in a little bit of hardship, because at the end of the day, it's income at the end of the day. So I want as many people signed up with clubs so that everybody's looked after, and but equally clubs have got their own self-interest at heart as well. So looking at it from a player's point of view, fingers crossed as many people can get new contracts at clubs as soon as possible.
You obviously have friends within the game, but is it difficult to see them not getting contracts?
I was to say, it's none that I've perhaps been close to at the moment. I've been either released or told that they're not getting a new contract, but fingers crossed it doesn't come to it, but I think it will at some stage, of course it will, just because there's the uncertainty there. Hopefully clubs stick by their players as best as possible and explore every avenue before taking that harsh decision, but again, I'm not speaking out of turn. That's way above my sort of pay grade, so to speak. It's clubs run themselves, and clubs will be there before players and after players. So it's up to them to do the right things.
From a poor perspective, there might be an opportunity for Peterhead to attract a player that they might not necessarily have gotten before because of this, because the clubs higher up aren't taking on players because their contracts aren't feasible anymore. So, I mean, there might be a possibility that you could actually end up playing with, let's say, for a better word, a better class of kind of player.
I think, as I say, you want to play with the best players, and ultimately the theory would be the better players that come in, the more success the club should have. But I think that's as I say, the managers earn their money for, they establish a squad, and we go on and we'd be successful. So if we could attract a better player that would go on and take the club to the next level, then as a fellow player in the team, they'd be greatly appreciated, and you'd love to, you want to be on a winning side every week. So hopefully we can get a couple of diamond signings and really go on about a really successful period, not just this season, but the seasons to come thereafter.
See, yeah, McManus has been released for Ross County, so he's obviously free and did quite well last season, so can you imagine crossing the ball in for him every week?
Aye, no, as I say, he's a great striker, but listen, when you get quality players, their services are in demand, and I'm sure there'll be another 10 clubs similar to that would be only too happy to have his services. So, listen, the reality will be it'll depend on players' individual wishes and their circumstances and if it would work for them. Because the other thing as well, you don't want people to come just for the sake of it, you want people to come because they want to be there and they become an asset to the place. There's more to it than just being a good player, you need them to bring a lot to the place as well. So, as I say, that's one for the manager and the board to see if whatever their plans are, or who knows.
A very diplomatic answer.
Listen, as I say, my job's to play football, and that's for the manager and the board, and that's their job.
Right, well, we'll end with some sort of quick fire questions, if that's all right. So we'll start with the first one. What's been your career highlight so far?
For myself, probably when Rangers come through the leagues, got a couple of opportunities to play at Ibrox in front of really big crowds. So one of the games I managed to score the first goal. So I think probably scoring the opener at Ibrox would be my own personal highlight.
How different is that? Is playing in a place like Ibrox as opposed to, you know, the places you would normally play at? Does it give you a lift? Does it make you more nervous?
No, it gives you, it's a great buzz, and I think every player will tell you, you play in front of, and that's why, as I say, the more fans that come to football, it makes it far more enjoyable for everyone. So it really is, you don't really think about how many are in there, but it gives you that little buzz, and it makes the occasion really. So it was fantastic to play in front of that number of people, and it'd be great if you could do that every week.
Who's the best player that you've played with?
May have given us a heads up on these questions, guys. Huh?
Put you on the spot.
As I say, my level's always been part time, so I've had plenty of guys at a part time level have been fantastic. So there's some that have great names that have come down, and to be honest, I think that's terrible, and I can't even think of something.
You can say Derek Lyle if you want.
I'll say everybody I've ever played with.
Okay, what's your biggest fear?
Actually quite sad, dogs. Shit scared of dogs, huh?
Really?
Aye.
Just any kind of dog, or was it a specific kind of dog?
These questions are terrible, by the way. Right, next question.
Which player did you like when you were growing up? Who did you like watching?
For me, it would have been either probably Brian Loudrup, Paul Gascoigne. So grew up a Rangers supporting fan, going to Ibrox majority of the time. So aye, majority of the Rangers players over that initial successful period.
What's the best goal you've scored?
I actually quite like the one I scored up at Peterhead for Stenhouse Muir about 3 seasons ago. It was actually maybe 30 yards or so. My probably one of my favourites.
And we'll see more of them this next season, will we?
That's it. So if we can get a few more games on at the stadium, then fingers crossed and referees don't call them off, and that's the plan anyway.
That's it.
The best game that you've seen, whether it be on the TV or is that as a fan in the stadium watching?
Probably the night that Arsenal drew 4-each with Liverpool. Anfield, watched that on the telly and just won it. You always remember this because when you get a goal first, they're really enjoyable.
I think that was the one that Arshavin scored 4 in.
That's the one,
I think that was that one, yeah.
What are you currently binge watching?
Just finished Shooter on Netflix. But I think right now everybody's giving rave reviews to Money Heist, so that's going to be the next one for me.
Your favourite holiday destination that you've either been to or you'd like to go to?
Majority of places, I've been to one place 4 or 5 times already, so I'd probably have to say Ibiza.
Purely for the music. And what kind of music are you into at the moment?
To be fair, my music selections are pretty broad, so I really a wee bit of anything, to be honest with you. There's no one type, but I would say my particular favourite.
Have you got a karaoke song then?
Well, I'm terrible singing it. I mean it, I can't sing, so I wouldn't even try.
But generally speaking, those that can't sing do karaoke?
No, there's levels. See, when you're that bad, you wouldn't even pick up the microphone. That tells you how bad I am.
If you could pick any country to live in apart from Scotland, where would you go to?
America.
For any particular reason?
I can't speak any other language, so...
Excellent. Thanks very much then, Alan, for coming on. That was great.
Aye, you need bother at all, guys. Sorry. You stay safe and I'll catch up soon.
Cheers, thank you.
That was Alan Cook there, who spoke to us earlier. Big thank you to Alan for coming on and joining us. And a big thank you also to our sponsor, Marco's Chipper. We'd also like to thank you guys as well for listening, as usual. Thanks again, and we'll see you all soon. Cheers.